Hello, everybody. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for this very first coffee chat with the Destination Wedding and Honeymoon Specialist Association. Turn things over to Lisa Sheldon, our Executive Director.
Hi, everybody. Welcome, and again, thank you for joining us today. As many of you know that are in our Facebook group, you know that the topic of bridal shows and following up and are they worth it is a frequent topic that we often discuss inside the group. So we thought this would be a good one to start with. Thank you to all the members who submitted some questions for us, and thanks to my panel, whose experience ranges from a few years to some veterans. And I'm going to ask a question, and then each panel member will have just a minute or two to answer it, you know, with quick, short, concise answers. So let's get started. One of the questions was, and I thought it was a good way to start out, I've just been asked to participate in my very first bridal show. What do I do next? Lisa, you want to start?
Okay. I had this all typed out, my answer, so you didn't go in order.
Yeah, I kind of rearranged them in order.
I didn't have that one at all, so that will be fun.
Yes, okay. You did. Okay. Participating in your very first bridal show, what to do first? The first thing is you ask a lot of questions. One, how many years have they been doing the show? Two, how many brides do you anticipate? What are the setup requirements? Can I put up a tent, balloons, candles, etc.? Because some venues have very strict requirements like no lit candles, no tape on the walls, etc. Can you set up the night before? Will I receive a bride's list? When can I expect it? And then come up with a theme or a booth idea. Make sure it'll fit into your space, and always have plan B, because I had to have a plan B at my very first bridal show here in Nashville. When the fire marshal wouldn't allow me to put up my tent. So it went from a tent to Christmas lights and garland. So just make sure you always have a plan B. And
great.
That's it.
PJ?
Wow.
Want to answer, add some to that?
Absolutely. We're right on track. The other things I would consider is, presuming that you've answered those other questions and everybody is comfortable with the fact that the show will go on, is an analysis of yourself, needing to look at your company, needing to look at what you want to show, what you want to promote as your services, and how you are different from anyone else in the services that you offer.
Great. Brenda?
Yes, to add, those are very good ideas, and to add on to those things will be, I would also ask how many vendors will be in the show, just overall. That will give you an idea of how big or small the show is going to be, how many other travel agents obviously are going to be. Your marketing, you have to take a look at your marketing and think about, okay, it's my elevator speech ready to go, it's would I be able to be able to tell the audience of the brides what I do in about 30 seconds or less? How am I going to approach them? How many brides? Also, I would ask of the promoters, what's the plan to get the brides to your booth? I do shows with this one particular promoter that she has a sheet that all the brides need to go through every vendor to get a signature in order for them to be entered into the giveaway. And I think it's a great idea to get to, you know, to be able to see as many brides as you can. So those are some of the things that I think you should ask as well.
Okay. And Cheryl.
Hi, this is Cheryl. I've learned from past shows, I'd like to know about the place, the venue, and how many brides have attended in the past years. What's the cost versus the expenses of the setup? You're always going to have some output, and you want to make sure you're not spending too much on your booth and your overall expenses as far as brochures and things like that to get back the cost of it. A lot of the smaller venues Some of the brides are just there to get the freebies or see if they can get them, and they don't usually sign up right away. I'd like to also know how many other travel agencies are in each show. Some of the smaller ones, if they only have 150 brides show up and there's three travel agencies or they allow up to three, I don't want to be a part of it. It's not worth my time, truthfully. I usually do about three or four bridal shows a year. Definitely have your theme for your booth. Keep it simple. You want that one thing that's going to get them to come to your booth over the other travel booths that are there. And definitely find out what type of requirements for setting up. Each travel agent or bridal show that I go to is totally different. So I have a box set up for different types of shows, whether it's for a destination wedding, if you're having it at a venue where they are promoting themselves as a reception area, you cannot promote so much towards the destination wedding. You have to keep it to the honeymoon. Definitely research. You got to research every bridal show that you're about to do for the past and what you think your outcome is going to be.
Great. Cheryl, I'm going to have you just move right into the next one question then, and it's how do you make your booth stand out from other agencies or other vendors, other wedding vendors?
Well, I have 8x10 matted photos of all my brides and grooms, honeymooners, some of the better pictures that they have sent to me over the years, and I have them hanging on a black backdrop. I present a photo album of thank yous and pictures, and I have my iPad always going with a slideshow of all the different destinations. I pick out all the best pictures that I've taken or that friends have sent me, and I make sure that everyone helping looks presentable. No food or drinks in the open. I want it to be professional. I might be home-based, but that doesn't mean that I don't want people to take me seriously. I keep everything down and out of the way, no clutter. Too much sometimes just looks chaotic, and people don't want chaos. I also put out, I keep it simple with brochures, and I will usually put out exotic brochures compared to our standard Funjet and Apple. We can all give those out at any time, but we all like to dream big and usually bigger than our budget, but the exotic brochures are what people will see and bring them to your booth.
Great. Lisa, do you want to add to that?
Okay. Well, I am not your typical travel agent, and my booth is definitely big. I do big or go home, and mine is a dining tent. So when you see it, you're looking as if you're dining on the beach. It's got palm trees, a beach backdrop, table linen, place settings, candles, twinkle lights. And again, it's not simple. It takes me 5 hours to put this booth up by myself. But after 10 years of doing bridal shows regularly 4 or 5 times a year, I have it down to a science. And if you're definitely serious about participating in bridal shows, you must be able to relate to your target audience, and that's your brides. You have to set yourself apart from the other travel agents that are just sitting behind the table with their brochures. My booth is my office, and I ask each bride who passes by to step into my office. I'm barefooted, and my toes are blue. And that definitely sets me apart because I have brides that come back and say, oh, here's that travel agent with the blue toes. So it's just something that you just really need to set yourself apart from. And I also have a photo frame that is moving in the background as well.
Great. PJ?
Well, I also agree that my booth is definitely my office. And that can be anywhere, including an elevator, the parking lot, wherever, depending on where your clients or prospects are found. I also have a tent or a gazebo type setup, which allows me to add accessories onto it. We try to be sure that we're unique with the items that we use, and we showcase not just general brochures and destinations, but we showcase the qualified vendors which we have gone out and sought out and who have asked us to please let them be a part of the bridal fair. It only takes about 5 seconds, and you know it's actually 3.5 seconds to impact that prospective bride that's going past you, and that's based on a 10 by 10 space. So you might want to try that, test it out yourself. Next time you're at some type of a show and walking through, look at the way you judge by appearance and as you go on. I think it's very important that you dress to impress.
Absolutely.
And that will go a long ways also with the other exhibitors.
Yes.
And great. They will be willing and want to come up and see what it is you've got and what you're doing. And there's a whole list of products and other things you can do between staff image and booth image that need to show that you are the best choice for the bride and groom.
Okay, great. And Brenda.
To add to the wonderful things that Lisa and PJ are doing, I think branding is huge. It's huge for me. I'm very visual and design oriented. So branding needs to be something that no matter what show you do, they know that you're there. So whether it's your blue toes, for me, it's my lab coat. I wear a lab coat, orange stethoscope. Orange is my branding color. I have a wall my husband built me that is painted orange. And what I do is I create a office. What I'm trying to do is give brides honeymoon prescriptions. I have a pad, and because most couples will come to me at the beginning of the shows, and so I created this marketing thing where they will come up to me, I would ask them about the honeymoon, and most of them had no idea where they wanted to go. So in 3 to 5 seconds, I will ask them a few things that they wanted to do, experience in their wedding. I will give them a honeymoon prescription, three options. My information is at the bottom. That's something they can take. I would also ask them to sign up for the newsletter, and then I will give them brochures. So I have no brochures. I only have exotics, just like Lisa does. And then everything else, I have it bagged in an orange bag, and they get it as they walk away, so they're not distracted with brochures. They're just talking to me and making a connection. I have about, like PJ said, just a few seconds to make a connection, so I need to impress them. Most of the time they're curious about why do I have a lab coat, and then we'll go from there. And even as I think Lisa was saying, or PJ, even with a lab coat, I still have a pantsuit underneath, I have heels, I don't sit, I am in front of my table. So it's hard work, but you have to make that first impression because there's so many great booths out there that you have to stand out.
Great. Okay, next question. If the show producer provides you with a list of all the brides, do you still collect information at your booth? Lisa.
This is Lisa J. Absolutely. I have a small form that all of my brides fill out, and that way I am the first travel agent to contact them immediately after the show while my husband and my son are taking down my booth. It's imperative that you are the first travel agent to engage with them after the show while you are still fresh in their mind. And I'll be honest, most travel agents waste their time and money on bridal shows because they do not do the follow-up. But I have a little form, and it has specific little questions. May I text you, may I email you, and they fill that out, and then I immediately start my follow-up process. So, yes.
Excellent. Cheryl.
Hi, this is Cheryl. Definitely. Anybody that stops at my booth, I politely ask them to fill out the slips for a drawing and a raffle. It gives me a way to talk to them while they're writing and get an idea of where they would like to go. I then write that down on the slip for easy follow-up reference. And I as well, that day, after leaving the bridal show, I have a form that I use and just kind of alter it according to each person and address it personally and get it sent out right away. I don't hesitate. Then I usually wait about 2 to 3 weeks after for a follow-up phone call because you know they're getting quite a few phone calls from other vendors. But it is imperative that you follow up immediately. And if it's not you, it can be anybody that sends out an email to help out. So.
Okay, great. Brenda.
Same here. That night when I get home, all of the information that I just collected, I do collect it on my booth. I ask them exclusively. I don't do giveaways anymore, but I do ask them for, I have a newsletter sign-up form where it has their information, the groom's information, their wedding date and location, and then their top three desired honeymoon locations. And that allows me to customize each email. When I send them a little, hey, it was nice to meet you today, I tell them a little bit more about me, and then I use that information they gave me to start marketing to them. So definitely I do collect that information but in the booth.
Okay. And PJ, how about you?
Absolutely. Actually, I have more than that, but you said to keep the answers short.
Okay.
All right. Yes, I absolutely do insist that the show provide a mailing list of those who registered to walk and came through. But number two, I don't rely on it. It's great that they are nowadays putting a label on them and actually saying bride, so you can select that person out of the crowd that's walking by so you know who to make eye contact with. But we do a giveaway. Very important for us is the tables are behind us. They go behind against the walls. They are not in front where we're standing behind.
Right.
We also go with corner booths so they can come in one way, go out the other. We have double visibility. Our registration form will include a couple questions on it like, do you need assistance with honeymoon or wedding? We will also ask, please call me. They can circle yes or no, and we do respect that. We have a question that says, do you know what a wedding planner and a honeymoon planner do for you? Because they may have never traveled ever before. And then we add a note in there to circle destinations that they might be interested in. Then when we get home, that also gives us a variety of different ways to sort through those people who have registered because of honeymoon, because of wedding, because of destination and that. So that is going to help you qualify and separate your registrations. Plus, then you can match it up with the list and see if your the email address written in it wasn't legible with what the show sends you or that type of thing.
Okay, great. Now, one of our members asked, what are the pros and cons of asking for co-op funds from a particular tour operator or resort company? Brenda.
I may not be a good person to answer this question because I have never asked for co-op funds. I pay for my shows myself because I sell myself. Now, granted, I don't have a huge marketing budget, so if they ever offered or if the opportunity was there, I will consider it. But I have never done it.
Okay, great. And Cheryl.
With any bridal show where the fee is under a $500, I do it on my own because I don't want to share the list. It might be stingy, but unless I know the resort will promote me 100%, I do not feel I should do co-op funds. With some of my larger upfront wedding shows, I do co-op, but use resorts that I know will leave my clients and not solicit them themselves and not pester them about timeshares, and ones that offer a great bonus booking program. There's a few of them out there that are really good to work with, and yet they don't really want to take over your whole show. So I've done it both ways, and I just kind of keep a limited dollar amount to myself.
Okay. PJ.
Oh, the first thing that comes to mind are all of the pros. Just to briefly, I do not pay for my bridal fair booth. I believe that the product that wants to be visible and the product that I am selling should hopefully participate. I offer three different ways to participate. Some may be a giveaway. Minimum is $300. I go to vendors and brands that know me, that know I'm selling their product, and I have never had a problem getting the usual $1,000 by breaking it out. They know that I'll be sharing the booth with more than one destination, and they want to be showcased, and those are the people I give preference to at my bridal shows.
Okay. And Lisa?
Okay. It definitely does have a lot of pros, and I totally and completely agree with PJ. I never pay for a bridal show space or a booth space. And in the event that I do not find a resort, or if it's last minute, which a lot of them are, a lot of people will call me and ask me, I'm doing a bridal show this weekend, can you come? Or someone recommended you, can you come? Absolutely. But I will barter out my booth space. They will allow me to come, and I will give them a prize, or I will provide the prize myself. And the pros are that you don't have to spend much money on your booth space. Another pro is that you can sell your favorite resorts, that particular resort, comfortably, because you are the specialist of that resort. And however, I usually take several other resort brochures as well, because the resorts know that their resort may not be exactly the right fit for each client, and they really don't want to lose, they don't really want you to lose that sale. But my focus is to sell that resort first and foremost, if I do accept the obligation of sharing the co-op funds. And I have never been asked for a list from the resort when I have accepted the co-op funds.
Okay.
Lisa, I'd like to just add that in, too. I would not share my list. Most of the time when you're working with a bridal show, it's in the contract that that list is not to go to third parties. So,
right.
But I have never had a resort ask for it either.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Another good thing to remember. Now, we had Brenda had mentioned that she sells herself and her services when she is at a bridal show and hasn't participated with another travel vendor. Brenda, when you're doing that at your booth, do you have like a trifold brochure or a flyer, or do you have something that promotes your services that you give to the brides?
Yes, Lisa. I have a rack card. I don't have a trifold. I have a rack card that has the front and back, my contact information and my services. If I happen, like the last show, the Sunday, I ran out of the packages that I made for the bride, so that's all I was given is my brochures. They had my contact information and more information, so that's what I hand out. If I hand out brochures, they are usually the TI and Apple where they have a lot of information, and I do that on purpose. I want to give them all this information and overwhelm them so that they call me. So that's what I do. I give out my brochures.
Okay, great. And PJ, do you have a business brochure?
We have actually several in flyers, and I bet everybody that I'm listening to or that's listening to me will agree one of the greatest sources is Vistaprint. You can go in and personalize. The prices are phenomenal. You can add your picture. Another thing I would encourage is a QR code a person can actually walk by your booth, scan your QR code, and get your website right there without taking anything. And some people now are getting like we are when we go to trade shows, not wanting to pick up a million things. So I definitely have my own personal ones with regard to service, and they do include the fact that it's not just destination weddings we do. No matter who's coming through, I want to do their travel, whether it's girls' getaways or anything else. So we want to be sure that those mother-in-laws and everyone else walking through knows we can handle their travel, that we're not just wedding specific. I think that's very important.
Okay, great. And Lisa.
Okay, this is Lisa J. Again, I'm not the typical travel agent. I never give out business cards at bridal shows. I think they're too expensive for something that they're just going to throw away, or it's going to get lost in the bag with all the other vendor stuff from the show. I sell myself while showing them a particular property in a particular brochure, and each brochure has all of my Get Social labels on it, which has all my call to action, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, etc. And I would say that about 90% of the brides that I speak to at the bridal show keep those brochures because they've told me, oh, I picked up your brochure and that's why I'm calling you, and that I give them for a reference. And particularly here in the South, I can say definitely here in Nashville, it is a very touchy-feely demographic of brides. So they want to see and touch and talk and have meetings, and they hold your hand and hug you. And so it's just a totally different demographic here, I think. But yeah, that I give out brochures and I sell myself.
Okay, great. And Cheryl?
Well, I have both the business cards, brochures, but my business cards are waterproof. And
bravo.
Cool.
Yeah, well, I also own a pool business, so it kind of went hand in hand there. But I do, as I believe Lisa said, I don't hand out business cards as much. They're there for them to take. A lot of them do take them because of the name of my business. They think it's fun and exciting. But I do hand out more of the brochures, trifold brochures, and definitely the brochures with labels on them. But yeah, I try not to hand out too much information, but give them a lot of the Apple, Funjet, TIs, all of those brochures to overwhelm them, as someone else had said too.
Okay,
you definitely
great.
Want them calling you.
Yeah. Now, for those of you, many of the shows have where each vendor has to donate a prize. You know, that the brides can win. But if they don't, or do you do something different, like at your booth, whether it's to get them to sign up for your newsletter or, you know, so you get their contact information, what type of low-cost giveaways have you used in the past, if any? And if, you know, whether it's, you know, we pick them all up at trade shows, whether it's a sticky notepad or whatever. PJ.
Well, this is where you get to get really creative, and this is where you're going to set your apart when people are going to remember things. So there's a lot of different things that you can do, and planning for a bridal fair can often start like a year before, wandering through Michael's, wandering through the craft stores, wandering through Joann's, or clearance racks in a lot of different places. We have always enjoyed doing bath salts, but since I last looked it up, bath salts has become the name of a drug. So we had to change that. We decided we didn't want them thinking we were handing out bath salt. But bath salts repackaged in smaller little vinyl or plastic bags, potpourri. You can buy potpourri that's clearance and out there a lot, and buy your own separate bags. Plastic bags in the shapes of vases and fill it and tie it. Everything that leaves our booth is branded, has our name on it. We've also used a variety of different things between postcards. There's pens, colored glass, seashells. I've glued two little of those silver rings in the middle of a seashell and a pearl on it, or a pretend pearl. There are endless things that you can create that are in the bridal arena or the honeymoon arena or romance arena that you can take out, and definitely take the time to go out and about, look at your other vendors, take pictures, see what they're doing. You may get some even greater or some new ideas. Every year, that's part of the fun part of the bridal fair, is picking and choosing the different kinds of things we want to put together and hand out. But we always hand something out. And it's not a brochure. We leave those in the booth. They walk through. They take what they want. So we're not handing them anything except inviting them to accept a small gift from us, which, of course, has our contact information on it.
Okay. Brenda.
I don't do that anymore. I don't give anything out. I started when I was doing a lot of shows last year. I did a lot of $25 and $50 Visa cards because they were requirements from the promoters. And from five or six shows, I never had a call, or even after I followed up, never had a booking out of giving away a card. So this year, the promoters still ask for I guess they call it a gift with no attachments. And honestly, I didn't even bring a gift last time. It hasn't paid off for me. And so, you know, I go to trade shows all the time, and I leave all the little pens and things behind because I just never use a lot of the stuff. So because I pay for my own marketing and all this stuff, I just decided to keep costs down. And I found that the brides still give me their information on my sign-up sheet just by asking them to. So I don't do it anymore, no.
Okay, great. And Lisa?
I usually don't give away anything except the brochures that I have. And on occasion, I may have some magnets or the magnetic calendars, but that's about it. And I know that the magnetic, the little magnets work because I had Bride tell me she saw my magnet on the refrigerator, and so she had to give me a call to plan her anniversary trip. So I know that you know, having those little magnets work sometimes. But I ask every bride that stops by my booth to fill out the little bridal show form and explain to them that this is for a quote or for more information on the destinations that we talked about, and that I'll be sending that information out to them by the end of the week. And so they know that that little form is what they're filling out and that there isn't anything attached to it.
Okay, Cheryl.
Well, I have one person just to work on getting brides to fill out the raffle tickets, to get them in, to fill it out. I do give away gifts. A lot of it is anywhere from the freebies that I've received at the trade shows to gift cards. I actually have a setup with a local restaurant down in Milwaukee where he gives me the gift cards at a discounted rate, and that kind of helps his business and mine. I have a one-time drawing for a gift bag of goodies that I like to do during the show, and then I ask the MC to announce the winner so my name gets out there over everyone else. I've noticed at a lot of wedding shows that they either forget to do the drawings or they do them at a different time, but if I can get some type of a raffle or a gift bag up there, it gets my name out over that speaker. And what I usually will give out is a Here Come the Bride bags filled with many different items. I also have a bag. If they fill out the raffle and book, say, a destination wedding, they're going to get a bag filled with two wine glasses that say 5 o'clock somewhere on them. I have playing cards that say 5 o'clock somewhere. Everything is with my logo on the gifts. And it just kind of sets the mood for happy, fun things. But I do give away the gifts. So.
Okay, great. Now, you had mentioned having someone else help you in your booth. Cheryl, you're independent. You're home-based. So you do have someone help you at your booth?
I do. And what I found, if it's a smaller bridal show, I just have one person help. But at some of the bigger ones, I actually have some of my brides or honeymooners assist me. And it helps me because I'll either pay them, or if I know they're booking a trip, I give them a big discount. Personal stories of my customer service and their experiences is a great way to stand out from all the other travel agencies at the show. And whether you're storefront or home-based, we all know how to book online and sell travel, but what makes us stand out is how we sell ourselves. And I think the best way to do that is to have some of your clients who are willing to help you to be there and tell of their own experiences. You know, and they tell them that they can get a hold of me at all times. And if I'm not right there, I have a great, you know, return call turnaround. So having my past clients work with me is the best form of compliment. And I have people that are dying to help at all wedding shows.
Great. Lisa.
I personally never let another travel agent work in my booth with me. I tried it. It didn't work. There was really no way to equally divide the bride's list. But I did have a friend come and help me direct the traffic, because being on a corner, like someone mentioned earlier, you know, you have the in and out traffic. so that they walk in and walk out. But my friend was also there to assist with the line of people that are waiting to talk to me. And so she just goes and kind of mixes and mingles and takes the edge off while people are standing there waiting. But that's about it. And I usually don't recommend taking someone else, you know, another travel agent with you.
Okay, Brenda?
I have my wonderful husband is incredibly supportive. He does a lot of the shows with me. He's a typical Southern gentleman, and he never meets a stranger, so he's awesome for talking to people. He remembers their name. He will kind of screen them a little bit if I'm already with another bride, and then he'll just direct them to me. If he's not available, I'll do them alone, and what I do is I kind of tag team like the show that has the forms for the brides to come and have you sign them. If I have two or three brides that are waiting for a signature, I just take their forms and I just talk to them at all together, and I try to create that communication. It's important to me to be able to have a contact with the bride, and I just sign the form and let them go. Right. So even if I have to double up or triple up, I do that, and I talk to everybody, and I get their name. So I try to be as personal as I can in 5 seconds if I have to. But most of the time, he's there to help. But that's the only help I've had with shows.
Okay, great. PJ.
Hey, PJ here. I have a pretty fabulous husband, and many of you might have met him. He also owns the business, and we are home-based. So he assists with the bridal fairs. I would never attempt it by my own unless I was forced to. I feel that the traffic that comes through and the brides looking for someone with answers is enough that by talking with only one bride, which you need to give her that individual time, 10 more have just walked by or more. I also like the fact that in the booth we run a woman and a male and a female. Sometimes the bride is coming through with the groom, and the guys will kick it up and start to talk more, and he actually builds relationships with the groom so that we have a win-win. I'm working with the bride, he's talking with the groom. That's a great asset to have, and you never know from all the surveys and tests that they do. Some women are more comfortable speaking with men, and while he's talking with them and kind of qualifying them, if he feels that they're a prospect of some kind, he will have them hold on and then direct them directly to me, which we kind of call it the big guns. But I definitely don't think one person can manage it as well. I think you're going to lose a lot of prospects that walk by because you're busy talking with one person, so they keep going.
Okay, great. Okay, so how do you network with other vendors at the show? Do you contact them prior to the event? Once you might get a list of other vendors that are going to be there, or do you go walk around when you're all set up and you're waiting for the show to start? And then do you follow up with them? Do you, what do you do for a follow-up with a vendor that you meet at the show that you could possibly develop a working relationship with? Lisa?
Lisa J. If I have time before a show, I will walk around and check out the competition and talk to the other vendors that can help me with my events. But I usually do not network with any of the other vendors at the show unless they're next to my booth. I just don't have the time, and I really want to focus on talking to the brides. I don't ever leave my booth until after the show is over. I don't eat, drink in my booth either. So unless the bride comes up to me with some cake and makes a comment about how good it is, then I'll talk, I'll ask, well, why didn't you bring me any? And then she'll feel the need to go get me some, and then we eat cake together, and that's how I get my rapport started. But as far as other wedding vendors, unless they can really help me with the events like a couple's night, I just don't establish a rapport with them. And then I'll just call him if I need something.
Okay. PJ?
Hi, PJ. Oh, I love my other vendors. They're so much fun. They make the show go so much more fun. I always be sure that, who was it that said it's a 5-hour setup for them?
Lisa.
Lisa. We will get there when it starts, and, you know, we're one of the last ones to leave. So it's the same for us as well, because I'm always juggling things around a little bit. But we always meet, of course, the people that are side by side, and hopefully you have in advance taken a look at where your booth is, had a chance to possibly select your booth, and are aware of the businesses that are around you. In some cases, you might select a location specifically based on a vendor that's going to get a lot of traffic as well, or one that the brides are definitely going to stop at, so you're a natural second. We love our vendors. We joke and laugh with them. We always, after and come in early to the show, I walk around. I ask if I can take pictures of some of the different booths and the different ideas that they have. And at the end of the day, before at the end of the first day, I always walk around and I have foot soaks that we have. And I always go around and I actually hand those out with a label on it and my business card. And we always look for the opportunity to market with each other, to share clients and do future marketing. One example 2 years ago was a vendor that was in there with this to die for, Italian ceramics. We actually went down about 6 months later, a night when they had an open house. They called us and asked us to come down and put out some travel brochures and that for Italy, which we did, which included, of course, our business cards and a lot of other things, and we did get a little bit of business from that. So look at your vendors as your outside sales force, I think. Thanks.
Great. Cheryl?
I usually don't have time to talk to or work with the other vendors, and honestly, the last few shows I've done, I happened to fly in that morning from out of state and have a couple destination wedding schedules after that, so they've been really busy days for me. I have talked to quite a few of the vendors, but I don't usually have time to walk around, and some of the wedding shows I've been doing lately, they haven't even sent out a vendor list. A few of the ones that I've talked to, though, the bridal salons and that, they have their own in-house travel that they recommend, and those are hard to get into. But, I've tried. It's just it's been a little hectic for me with the vendors.
Okay. Great. Well, speaking of follow-ups, we've done the bridal show. We've got that list of brides, and hopefully you get that list within a couple of days, a week maximum, because you want to get to those brides as soon as possible. What do you do for follow-up, Brenda? What do you do? Do you send them an email? Do you drop them a note? How do you do that? Make a phone call?
I have, so the same night I contact the ones that left the information on my booth. Mostly I call them my better leads, because I have more information than the list that the producer gives you. And so then it goes into a spreadsheet that I have with all of this information, and I start, I sort it out by wedding date, and that gives me kind of like the top priority, who's getting married within in a certain time frame. So then I start emailing them to my weekly e-zine, and I'm in contact with them, so I make it easier for them to reply if they want to set up an appointment. After that, I have a little system that I call it the cherry lead picking. Basically, I take all of that information plus the quality how good they are as far as opening my emails. So those that open my email the most, I already know they have a very good interest in what I have to say. So then I send them a cherry pick, I call it a package, where I'll send them a handwritten note and a big, beautiful orange envelope with a ton of information, and I get most of my calls back from that package, because they are like, wow, nobody ever handwrites anymore. Nobody mails me anything. Everybody emails me. So That's what works for me.
Okay, great. PJ.
I love that idea. This is what I love most about our coffees and our chats and our getting together, because, you know, the really most important thing is building relationships with not just other agents, but other professionals in other different realms, so that we're understanding all the new great ideas that come out. Follow-up, I don't know, is that anybody's favorite part of a bridal show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not my favorite. Yeah. I confess, that's not my favorite. I would say that's probably my biggest weakness. But I love the idea of your cherry picking. So great idea. And I know the handwritten is really good. We do follow up. When we get some specials that will come across the computer, for example, a go-go Caribbean sale, I'll use that because that was in and out a little while ago, we'll look through our list, the people that the brides or grooms that add Circled Caribbean. We make a special note to send that flyer to them, and we try to keep in touch with them a little bit as we go along, sending them things that are of interest to the destinations that they have received. This is a chance when you get to meet with your local people if you're interested in doing that. I have a lot of ours are all over the U.S., so it's a chance to sit and meet with locals and, again, put your best foot forward. I think it's the toughest part of the bridal show, and, you know, along with getting emails that then they change their emails and, you know, remember that some of the gimmicks that you use as far as giveaways, that will pull that particular audience of wanting a giveaway to you. So I think qualifying, again, is really important. And every email that we send out, I always have my picture on it so that they remember from seeing me at the bridal fair.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay, great. Cheryl.
Basically, it seems like we're all doing the same thing. We all are sending out emails right away. I do the personal colored envelopes. They say that definitely a colored envelope will get opened up first before a white envelope. I send them out to the ones that I have talked to at the shows, mm-hmm. and I definitely do thank yous to each person that has booked a trip so that they have that thank you when they return with my, you know, logo and everything on it, and tell them the best compliment is a referral. But I definitely don't like the follow-up. The cold calls is not my thing. I'm more of an organizer than a follow-upper.
I want them to call me.
What's that?
You want them to call you.
Yeah. The thing that I'm finding is, with this being our busy season for all of us, and the bridal season is upon us, it's very difficult to stay up on all of your regular travel as well as the new cold calls. And I think we all experience that being home-based agents. You know, you take a few calls a day. So that's what I've learned to do is maybe 5 to 10 cold calls a day. And that's, you know, that's what I try and budget for myself at least every day. So.
Okay, great. And Lisa.
Okay.
How do you follow up?
Well, I don't wait for the bride's list. I start my follow-up immediately after the show with texts and emails. I never phone a bride and only talk to the brides that call me. Then when I do receive the bride's list, I cross-reference those brides with the contacts that I've already started texting and emailing. And thanking them for attending the show. I have a special email that I send to them. Thank you for attending the show and stopping by my booth. I hope you got all the information you needed. I make the email all about them because that's what it is. It's all about them. I don't ever... let me see. Okay, lost my place. And to be very honest, once I get that bride's list, I divide it by wedding date, and then into, I'm honest now, the more lucrative, more prominent zip codes. For example, here in Nashville, we have the Franklin Cool Springs and the Green Hill areas, and I send out totally different email blasts to those brides with teasers, with quotes for Tahiti, Hawaii, Europe example, And for all the other zip codes, I have a more moderate teaser quote email that I send out. I mail postcards for thank you for stopping by my booth, and then I send out postcards for thank you for booking with me, and then I send postcards for a welcome home postcard for after when they return from their honeymoon.
Okay, great. So now this is the last question that I'm going to pose to you, and then I'm not sure, John, if we've gotten a few questions from our audience. But Lisa, how do you track your results then from those shows?
Okay. Each bridal show I attend, as I mentioned before, I have a little form. And that form has its own code in the upper left-hand corner with the initials of the show and the date. So after the show is over, I take those forms and I staple them to a little piece of copy paper. And as the brides contact me, I refer to that list and to the bride's leads list, and then I remove that form and attach it to their profile. And then when they contact me, I have a separate email box for brides only, which I think is very important, because if you have all your emails going into the same email box, you can easily let one fall through the cracks. And I've been there, done that, and I didn't get that t-shirt or that booking. And so if you have your, and within that email box, then each bride has their own folder, and every email for each bride goes into their own folder. And that's how I track
it. Okay. And Brenda, how do you track your results?
I have each bridal show is a different list on my email newsletter program. And so I'm able to tell which show it's better than the other as far as opening rates and engagement. And then aside from that, I have a very, I want to say, manual Excel spreadsheet that I keep track of everything. You know, my cherry pick leads are at the top, then my green leads, and then I have everybody else. And so whenever anybody replies to my emails or my mailing or they email me, I go into the spreadsheet. And so I'm able to, and that spreadsheet obviously includes where I got the bride from, where it was bridal show, email, Facebook, whatever. And so that's how I track, manual, kind of manual way.
Okay. PJ.
Oh, goodness. I'm a hands-on kind of girl. The lists are separate. I think what's important for people starting out with the bridal shows and those that use all those three-letter words like ROI for what's your payback for your investment, the important thing is to know that you may not see the full payback come for up to 2 years. I've had actually a bride who followed up and said, I kept this brochure from your booth. It was two years old.
Absolutely.
So an important thing, everything that Lisa, Cheryl, Brenda has said are super great ways. But keep in mind to not get discouraged and to remind yourself you're the specialist. You are worthy. There's a point where they should come to you, not that you should be knocking down the doors for them. Keep your value where your hot leads are, but remember that sometimes the payback is not going to come in for a year or so, or it may come in the way of a friend told a friend told a friend that might not even mention that bridal fair. So you could be getting cold calls that even though you asked, you might not really know that that actually came from the bridal fair a year and a half ago.
Great. Cheryl?
Well, it's pretty much the same again, keeping an Excel spreadsheet of all the attendees, and then I take that spreadsheet a little farther when they book. I keep track of the bookings, the commission. I like seeing if I broke even with the fees from the show or if I came out ahead of the game. I've always been pretty organized, and being a paralegal for quite a few years, I actually break it down into how many tenths of a minute I spend on each of my folders, because I personally like seeing where I'm breaking even or getting ahead of the game, so I know where to take my direction with things. But yeah, I think we're pretty much all doing the same. You know, it's just it's follow-up. It's a lot of follow-up work.
Great. John, do we have any questions?
Thanks. We do. We actually have a ton of questions, and let me suggest this. I don't think we'll have time to get into any of the questions. All the folks who sent in questions, just be aware that we've collected every one of those, and Lisa Sheldon and I will get together and we'll figure out a way, perhaps by posting them to the Facebook group, we'll figure out a way to get answers back to everybody. But Lisa, if you want to give the agents who spoke today maybe a final chance to give any other final bits of advice that we haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah, I will. First thing I want to tell you is that the questions that we have, you know, talked about, what we want to do, and keep submitting those questions, whether it, if you've got one, just quick get it in before the end of the webinar here, or if you're in the Facebook group, because we're going to compile a book. We're going to try and make a book about best bridal show practices. So, and then that eventually will be up on the website. So, anybody have any last minute thing to add? Anybody?
Hi, Brenda speaking here. I think the only thing I can share is for them to be themselves and make contact, make a meaningful contact with the brides at the show. I found that if I have not made a contact and I got a lead from a piece of paper, that 9 times out of 10, I'm going to get a better response from the bride if I've made a personal contact. It's easier for them not to discount you or delete that email or that quote. So just make contact with them. Make it be yourself.
PJ here. I guess my reminders would be to be sure that all your materials are conveying a constant and consistent message. Highlight your specials. We also actually make up what we call honey money. It's a dollar bill and my face is in the middle, God forbid. And on that it says $50 to be applied to your reservation from that bridal show and with the deadline. This is the time when you throw out the handmade business cards. Everything must look professional. They are looking at you to be their leader, and you need to fill that just as fully as you can.
Great. Cheryl or Lisa, any last minute? We have about a minute and a half left.
This is Cheryl. I just wanted to say for, you know, we were talking about the low-cost giveaways. Actually, when I'm done with this, I'm heading into Milwaukee to meet with a business this afternoon to negotiate gift cards. It's a great, I've been doing this with a few other vendors, the raffle gift cards, where we'll do a certain dollar amount. Today I'm picking up a $100 gift card where I paid $50 and they're donating the rest. It gives that business customers to come in, and it's a great raffle for me at a lower cost. So it's a win-win situation. That's something you might want to do with local businesses around you. You know, this company here can promote rehearsal dinners or catering. So those are things you can look into as well if you want to do some type of a raffle with not putting out a lot of money yourself.
Okay. And Lisa, last minute comment?
Last minute comment would be follow-up is imperative. Don't waste your time or money doing bridal shows or any kind of trade show, whatever your niche is, if you're not prepared to follow up.
Excellent. Yep, that is true. I talk to so many agents and other businesses that say, I never got anything out of it. Well, did you follow up? Well, no, you know.
Yeah,
that is the whole key to it. Why spend that money if you're not going to utilize the bride list and contact them? So
exactly.
I want to thank Brenda, Lisa, PJ, and Cheryl for being on our panel today. We look forward to having our coffee chat at least, you know, once every 3 or 4 weeks. If you've got ideas for topics you want covered, make sure you let us know. You let John or I know. And thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you
for having us.
Thanks everyone. We'll post the recording of this. And it should be up this afternoon, actually. It'll be in the training section of the website. So thanks, everyone. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, John.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.